Layer by layer, her confidence peels away. She tries to piece it together, but her cells are fighting against her. She looks into the mirror. One minute, she's on top of the world, wearing a crown. And the next, she's red with rashes. What is this duality? Why am I shape-shifting? Which one is it? So much of me is shedding away. What do I do? How do I make it stop? According to Healthline, eczema is a chronic condition that causes dry, itchy skin. Scratching the affected skin may cause more irritation, swelling, and discoloration. Your skin may also crack, bleed, or weep clear fluid. The most common type of eczema is atopic dermatitis. A 2021 research review by EuroPMC found atopic dermatitis can negatively affect quality of life and self-esteem. You might feel self-conscious about visible symptoms or scratching itchy skin. You might also face stigma from others. These challenges may limit your self-confidence and contribute to symptoms of anxiety and depression. Taking steps to manage your symptoms and building self-worth is important for improving self-esteem. Today's episode of the Lavender Fix podcast features Abby Cremond of New Orleans, Louisiana. Abby is an influencer, actor, model, and a full-time college student. The 22-year-old holds the title of Miss Louisiana and has dedicated her online platforms as a tool to spread awareness about eczema, to inspire and encourage others, with the message that no matter what condition you have, it will never define who you truly are. Hi, Abby. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So, Abby, I'm going to start with a very foundational question, which is somewhat my style with every episode, because each story is very unique. And I wanted to say, you know, tell me, who was Abby before her journey with eczema began?
So I was diagnosed when I was 18. So I was, before my eczema, I was just a little delinquent high school kid. I've always had sensitive skin. But as far as just who I was just a normal, typical high school girl. A lot of unhealed trauma.
So. Yeah. Most of us, isn't it?
Yes.
You're not alone. You're not alone in that one. So, Abby, tell me, what was your skin like back then? Did you have a skincare routine? Who were you in that sense?
So, embarrassingly, as it is to admit, I did not have a skincare routine. I didn't really take care of my skin, but it was because I didn't really think I needed to. I've always had sensitive skin. I would break out in hives when the seasons would change because I live in Louisiana. So
right.
The weather around here is weird. Everybody's having problems with everything. But I struggled with like acne a little bit, but nothing too crazy. Didn't take care of myself like I should have, though.
Okay. And, you know, in terms of the lead up to discovering you had eczema, was there a specific event that made you feel like you'd hit a wall or that, oh my God, I need to go see a doctor now?
So with the whole mindset of me thinking I don't need to take care of myself, I think it was like 2019, I was working as a server in a restaurant and I went to work one day and in my skin at this point, I was already kind of experiencing little patches, visible red flare-ups are on my face, on my eyes, on my neck. And I go into work and my boss pulls me aside and is like, hey, so I can't have you serving my tables looking like you have a disease. And in that moment, I was taken back. I was so honestly probably offended.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And Yeah, and I called my mom and I told her the situation, and I didn't like her answer either because she agreed. And I was just like, dang, have I just been in denial? And I think I was. So I went to the ER that day, and I was like, oh my gosh, like I don't know. There were so many thoughts going through my brain as like, do I need to be here? Am I just, is everyone just freaking out, or is there actually a problem? And that was the first time where they told me I had eczema. It was just a doctor, so they couldn't diagnose me with eczema. But they were like, this is pretty much, you need to go to a doctor to get that diagnosed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a hypochondriac. I drive myself nuts. I have the slightest symptoms and I run to WebMD. Yeah, so let's go back to when you went to the ER. You know, what was your mindset when you're there in the waiting room? Because, you know, there are now two people at this point, including someone you were working for, and then your mother confirmed that something seemed amiss. Were you serious? Were you nervous? Were you nonchalant? What was going through your mind?
I definitely took the more nonchalant approach. Well, with anything in my life, I think I use humor as my coping mechanism. So I was kind of making a joke out of it. Like, I was videoing myself the whole time in the ER, making videos and like making jokes and saying like, oh my goodness, look at all these like hickeys all over me, like that, that, like just being playful. But it was because I think I didn't want to accept the fact that, hey, you just got diagnosed with this condition. I mean, because it was scary. It's intimidating. But definitely play around with it.
And when did it really hit you that, oh my God, this is happening?
So after the ER situation, it was probably like a year and a half where I still was kind of like, maybe not, whatever. But then my skin just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I think I was still in denial that whole time. And it wasn't until I competed at a national pageant in Las Vegas, Nevada. It was a week long, and that week was probably the worst week of my life because my skin was at its all-time low. Like, I was covered, head, like, scalp to toe in patches, literally, quite literally infecting my body, which in turn, like, affected my mental health, and let alone I'm at a competition, and I'm surrounded with beautiful, accomplished other women. It was hard to deal with, for sure.
Yeah, describe the pain to me. What is the sensation like? Is it burning? Is it itchy? Is it tight? What is it like?
Oh, it's God, it's just pain. So yeah, it's definitely itchy. The itch is probably the worst because then you'll itch so long and then scratch so hard you start to bleed, and then your skin starts to like tighten up, which doesn't feel great. So then you want to like touch it and stuff. Definitely burning too. Goodness, burning, all of that. It's quite literally like your own like personal physical hell on your body. So that, and then having to wear like makeup on top of it.
Yeah, that must have been an irritant.
Yeah, so anything on top, it just clings onto it, and then taking it off and putting it more on, my goodness, like I was beating myself up.
So Abby, I understand that a big part of living with eczema is the combination of low self-confidence, you know, fatigue, then the constant itching, and that can make it really hard to be around other people, especially when you have a flare. And I'm sure you craved sort of a comfortable and private setting most of the time. So, you know, what were some of the most prominent mental implications that came from this condition?
So, one of the things a lot of people outside of the eczema community, I think, don't understand very well is that it also affects you mentally, probably just as equal as it does physically. So I would say, like, in general, like I have pretty good mental health. Like I'm stable, I'm happy, I'm good. However, during that 3-year period, it completely broke me. Like, it tore me down. And I'm a pretty strong, independent woman. You know, I got that very strong attitude. But for whatever reason, my goodness, I couldn't. It knocked me to my absolute lowest of lows. Like, it got me to the point of thinking that I'd rather be gone than have to live the rest of my life dealing with eczema, because it's miserable. Like, especially sleeping. That developed insomnia for me. It's something I still struggle with, because there's no rest. There's no rest period. Mm. So it's always this indefinite cycle of just pain.
And what was it like when you were attending pageants? Because you're around so many other people. Second, you have to show up as your best self. And then third, there is this added layer of makeup and products and being conscious around other women. What was, you know, did you ever feel like, why am I here? I don't want to be here, and I crave comfort.
Goodness, it really sucked, because I enjoy competing. I love competition. But whenever you're surrounded by girls, and everybody has their own story, but physically, when you're surrounded with everybody, because in my brain, I think everybody has perfect skin, you know? So I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like such an outcast. I feel just completely disgusting. I felt so disgusted with myself. It got to the point where I was debating even competing anymore, and competing is my life. It's one of my passions. Mm. So really questioning a lot of things.
And I wanted to sort of take a step back and actually ask you, what is your connection with pageants? Because it's a very specific career path.
Yeah. So I've been competing in pageants. I think I started when I was around 8 years old. My mom put my sister and I in them because she knew it helped with confidence and kind of just your whole development. And my sister and I both, we were pretty shy kids, really shy, in fact. And I have to give it to pageants as to a big factor as to who I am now. I'm outspoken. I have no problem public speaking, getting in front of crowds. I'd say I'm an extrovert, and I got to give that to pageants.
But have you ever felt this added pressure to look a certain way, or have you felt complexed being in a green room full of women looking their best when it, you know, especially skin wise? And have you ever received any critical remarks from other contestants or mentors?
So actually, no, thankfully.
Oh, that's good.
I think it was just kind of my own personal thing against myself. You know, everybody was always so supportive, because they were like, if anybody ever did say something, it was kind of like, oh my gosh, is that eczema? Like, I have that too. Like, what moisturizer do you use, type of thing, you know? I played a very good, or I put a very good mask on of covering of how it actually made me feel. Mm. I kind of pretended I was okay with it, when in reality I was like about to give up.
What was the first time, or actually, I should rephrase this, have you ever had flare-ups when you were at a pageant? And if yes, when was the first time, and how did you manage to cover it up and show up as your best self?
Let's take a quick break.
This is Christine Estrada with Living Purpose Podcast. Do you know what your purpose is? What makes you tick? What motivates you to discover new things? Where do you find the motivation and strength to lean in to searching for that purpose? All of these are questions that I have had for many years. And if you're like me and these questions have been ruminating for you, or you just love good stories about everyday people doing everyday greatness, then you have found the space. I invite you to come sit with Living Purpose Podcast and lean into the beauty of storytelling. This is where stories matter. Consider joining us every month as we dive into discovering new pathways to purpose.
So my eczema is still to this day knows whenever I have something important going on. So literally every single pageant I've competed in, I've most likely competed with eczema somewhere on my body. So the first time it's hard, because to me, it's just kind of been a thing that I just always deal with. Mm. And honestly, again, I don't have the perfect formula as to how to go about it. At the time, like, let's see, what, 3-2 years back, I'd just be like, all right, I know I'm going to have to deal with an annoying flare up after this pageant, but just put this makeup on my face and let's go. So I just kind of dealt with it, let them do what they had to do. I still got a tan. I still did everything. And I mean, she reacted, eczema reacted pretty bad each time, but I was prepared. I got to a point where I was prepared.
Tell me about your Vegas pageant in particular. I know that was a really rough one for you.
Yeah, so that was definitely like kind of the defining moment of my story. I realized a lot. That's when I like actually was like, okay, I cannot go any longer with my skin like this. Let's go get it fixed. So I went to go see a dermatologist, and we did, we did multiple allergy patch tests. That was also probably the worst time of my life because I was covered already. And the dermatologist actually suggested that we don't do the testing because the eczema, like the patches on top of the eczema, would affect what I'm allergic to and it wouldn't be like precise. But I was like, I don't care. I would rather something. Like, I need some sort of answer, whether it's like kind of botched. I don't care. I was so desperate. I got to this point where I was just in this like irritable, like I need answers right now type of mood. Mm-hmm. So we did with the test and it came back with, like I was allergic to a few type of metals like nickel, allergic to parabens and sulfates, which is shampoos and conditioners, so I had to kind of change my shower stuff, my detergents, stuff like that. But it's still like I changed everything. Still, my eczema was just as bad. So I'm like, okay, something. I need my answer. I need an answer.
So Abby, what came out of this patch test then? What happened? What was the conclusion?
So I didn't get my answers after the patch test, and my dermatologist was like, okay, here is a solution I can give you. And she suggested that I get on this medication called Dupixent. It's a biweekly injection that you can get in your arm, stomach, or thigh. And I was like, of course, it's an injection every 2 weeks. because I forget the name of it, but I have a fear of needles. So I'm very prone to fainting. Like I can't even get my blood drawn. I can't even get like regular like flu shots done because I'm such a baby when it comes to needles. So I'm like, of course, this is the solution.
So this is a shot that you have to take on a bi-weekly basis without fail?
Yes.
And all of this is happening as you're returning from, once you've returned from your Las Vegas pageant.
Yes.
But, you know, do you feel like during this pageant there was a moment when you were like, all right, that's it. This is it. Like, something's up. Because you've been in other pageants. You've, you know, walked the ramp. You've been in the green room. You've been around encouraging people. And I'm very pleasantly surprised to hear that you never experienced this kind of roller coaster of negative comments or constantly being corrected or advised as to what to do with your skin. What was it in particular about this pageant that pushed you to go into a clinic and get this patch test done?
I think it was just kind of like the period my skin was in, and it just happened to be over this competition. It was again, something more personal because the people I was surrounded with, especially in the hair and makeup room, they were supportive because I show up to them with a bare face and it's very evident of my condition. So everybody's like, are you okay? Like, am I able to use this? And I'm like, yeah, no, it's fine. It's just eczema, but like sensitive skin products would be probably best. And they're like, no problem. I got you. And then we start talking about eczema.
Wow. Okay. So coming back to this moment of truth when you're being told that, all right, I guess we're going to have to try something else with you. And, you know, obviously you, as mentioned, are terrified of needles. So how did you respond to the news of potentially getting jabbed every 2 weeks? And then also tell me, what is your relationship with needles? You know, you said you can't get flu shots. So how have you survived all these years and what's that like?
Yeah, so at first, that was probably the worst news I've heard aside from being diagnosed with eczema. But I got to tell you, I didn't care what the solution was. If this doesn't show how desperate I was, I don't know what else I could say. Because, like, needles, like, worst fear, worst, like, I do not want to deal with it. Can't even watch it going in somebody else. Like, I can't, like, everything about needles, out the window. Mm. Cannot deal. However, my eczema, like, I was literally suicidal. Like, I was literally, like, I didn't want to continue anymore having to deal with everything. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this a shot, quite literally. And I was like, let's do it. My mom was concerned about, like, the side effects and stuff. Mm. And there are side effects. I thankfully have not experienced any of them.
Oh,
not
good.
Yet. Knocking on wood. But yeah, I kind of just had to suck it up. It came to that point where I think I kept suppressing everything for so long. It just kind of all boiled up and was like, all right, well, here you go.
Mm. And I think the word that you were looking for, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correct, is trypanophobia, which is the fear of extreme fear of needles.
Yes, exactly.
And yeah, and I think people with this phobia feel afraid of getting injections or blood draws. And it's actually more common than people think, but it can severely interfere with your life. And, you know, I think, you know, people with intense needle phobia also sometimes delay or avoid medical care, which in your case, you seem to be very fearless. And maybe this was a way for you to also overcome your fear of needles.
Yeah, and honestly, that's a good point, because I have now, well, I wouldn't say like 100% in full, but like I can walk into my appointment and just be like, roll up my sleeve, and I'm like, all right, give it a go. And whereas 2 years back, it was a whole operation.
Mm.
I had like three nurses in there. I had to like have a cold rag on my forehead, somebody's hand to squeeze, and freaking a coat waiting for me. It was so...
Yeah. So when did your treatment start and how many shots have you had till date?
Oh, goodness. So your initial injection, it's two. So you get two at the same time to start off, but it's only one needle from then on out. And oh, my goodness. You know, if I could count, I don't know, because let's see. When is it? I started probably 21, the summer of 21.
Uh-huh.
So I guess however many months it has been since August of 2021 till now.
Mm.
Goodness, a lot of shots. I can just say it's a lot.
Yeah.
It is a lot.
And can you tell me, if you were to go back in that moment in time when you got your first shot, what was going through your mind?
Honestly,
that.
Just like chaos, and just like I think I went numb, to be quite honest with you, because I was like, I'm in between both my hells right now. Freaking, I'm like still suffering and my skin is hurting. I like don't want to be there. I don't want to be touched. And then I got two nurses about to jab me with needles I don't want in my skin. And so I think I just kind of froze up. I'm just like, just give me a hand to squeeze. And I'm like looking into my eyes. I'm like, I'm going to squeeze the crap out of your hand. I'm so sorry. But I don't know what's going to happen. I nearly passed out. I was like, because I'm prone to passing out. So I tell whoever I'm around, I'm like, hey, yo, if I say I'm about to pass out, I'm about to pass out. So they're like, okay, we've dealt with people passing out before. So, you know, we had to like the whole thing, the whole show. I swear, like everybody in the office was probably in that one room.
Yeah.
Protection.
Yeah. I mean, okay, at least they were supportive and at least you felt like, okay, like they understand what I'm dealing with.
Yeah, they were nice.
Yeah, because having a fear like that doesn't help. So let's pivot to how things panned out with your Dupixent shots. Were they effective?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I would say it was my lifesaver, to be quite honest with you.
Mm. And did you notice a difference almost instantly?
So it wasn't instantly, but it was rather quicker. I want to say around maybe 3 months that it probably near almost cleared up around 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So the injection shots were worth it then?
Absolutely.
And how did this positive outcome or, you know, effect on your skin make you feel? Were there any evident changes in your mood, self-esteem?
110%, yes. I felt normal again. Like, I was able to, like, be myself truly, do what I wanted to do, have no, like, other factor that's affecting what I do or any other, like, source of, like, pain. It was such a good feeling. Like, I was so happy. And people were already like, well, are you plan on, like, being on this medication forever? And at the time, I was like, I don't care. Honestly, I still am like this. I'm like, I don't care if I have to be, honestly. Mm-hmm. If this means I don't have to deal with my eczema anymore, then so be it. Because I'm honestly not even thinking about getting off of it right now.
Mm-hmm. Did people around you notice your skin improving? And if yes, how did that make you feel?
I started getting compliments mm-hmm. about my, like, saying you have, like, the best skin I've seen. Like, how do you get your skin so, like, nice like that? I've never received skin compliments. So I think I felt like I was being punked, to be honest. Like, when people complimented me or said something, I was like, no, like, stop it. Like, shut up. You're like, you know. But then they're like, no, like, for real. Like, what do you use? I was like, oh, my God. Okay. Well, I'm actually on medication. So, it pivoted my life. And I just feel so much better.
So you feel like you weren't able to take a compliment for what it was initially, because you felt like people were just saying it to you to make you feel better about your situation.
Yeah. And honestly, I kind of feel like that today, too.
Really?
I guess I just haven't accepted the fact that, like, my skin is, well, because then, like, I don't know, I got, like, other stuff going on with my skin, like, you know, but I don't know, it's just still a weird thing for me.
Yeah, and you already kind of touched upon something that I was going to ask you, but is this a lifetime thing for now, or is there, this is the course of the treatment and then we reevaluate sort of a thing?
Mm-hmm. I don't think I can give you a certain answer. All I know, like, what I'm going to do, if I start experiencing side effects, then that will change something. But until then, I think I'm cool. I'm going to
keep going.
I'm going to keep going and stay on it until given a reason not to.
And can the frequency of getting these shots be reduced from bi-weekly to monthly at some point?
That's a great question. I don't know for sure, and I don't want to tell you the wrong thing, but I do think so, because I do know people that, like, get them done once a month or, like, once every, like, 4 weeks type of thing. So there is something, but then again, I've not done further thinking into it.
Yeah. And so I'm assuming that you haven't even considered ever getting off of it, or do you fear getting off of it? And do you think you have a lifetime dependency on it now?
I don't know. Like, I don't want to sit here and say, like, yes, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I mean, however, and, like, most realistically for me, I mean, I don't want to have to inject myself every 2 weeks for the rest of my life, you know? So at some point, I would like to get off of it and just see. However, the fear of doing that is my eczema coming back.
And, yeah, yeah.
My life in a whole nother go around. And I'm not ready to do that right now.
Tell me more about Dupixent and how you became eligible. You know, is this a medication that's easy to get on? Is there a wait list? What is it like? And how can other people get on it?
Goodness. So I was extremely lucky, extremely privileged to even have this medication, because it is difficult to get depending on where you live, insurance, a lot of different reasons. I have friends that are on wait lists, and they've been on wait lists for 4 years to even just try out this medicine. I've received messages from people in Europe saying they don't even offer it over there. And if I knew an alternative to Dupixent, and I don't, you know, So it's a problem. It's a real problem. But that's what got me involved with the National Eczema Association, and being an ambassador for them, because we work a lot in healthcare. And tying pageants back around, that's my platform. So I would like to have a big title one day, so I get that credibility to be able to walk into legislation and give them a pitch and give them an inside look of what it feels and looks like to suffer with this condition and how a lot of people are currently suffering.
Dealing with it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, there are a lot of pivots that somebody in your position has to make. And sometimes people think of it as, well, it's just a skin condition. You're being overdramatic. Because I have friends who have eczema and they get that a lot. That, oh my God, you're being so dramatic. Like, what mental health? What are you talking about? And I think a friend of mine had actually highlighted that she's not on Dupixent and she's not even in this country, but she gets a different kind of injection where she is. You know, oftentimes I think just even with this whole biweekly cadence, you know, sometimes I wonder, does it affect your ability to move around freely, or do you have to plan every move keeping your short appointment in mind?
So, it's actually easy. Like, I mean, once you get approved and once you have access to the medicine, they just send it to you. So I have it sent to my dermatologist office because I need them to do it for me. But if I was cool, like with needles and had the ability to do it myself, I could just have them send it to my house.
Oh, like self-inject?
Yeah. So actually, like a lot of people self-inject, and that's what is recommended. You learn how to do it yourself and stuff.
Oh my God, I would never be able to do it.
Fat enough. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, you know, talking about beauty pageants, a big part of beauty contests is, you know, judges are looking for clarity of expression, sincerity, perception, sense of values, and then there's stuff like poise, self-confidence, and then, you know, in general, your overall ability in human relations and personality, which I'm pretty sure you're already aware of. I remember in your short documentary that you had posted on Instagram, you mentioned that you had always struggled to find a niche, especially when it comes to, you know, standing behind a cause when part of pageants. And you eventually realized that it was right in front of your eyes for the past 3 years. So how has life changed in that sense, especially when you talk about your mission statement now?
Yeah, I was that's the denial talking. now I'm in my acceptance and healing phase. I think I became kinder to myself, and I think I grew a greater sense of understanding and how to understand myself better and others, regardless of condition. I'm very transparent about it now. I love talking about it. If anything, it's kind of my whole brand at this point, because it turned into a passion now, because not only does it help other people, and well, that's essentially what I'm trying to do, is it helps other people. And I want to use my own testimony to try to help, try to inspire, try to be at least a little bit of light for somebody else that may be experiencing something similar.
Yeah. But I mean, pageants can also be very stressful. And I kind of wonder, have you ever, because of your condition, because I'm pretty sure you also have not so good days, have you ever considered taking a step back?
I've definitely thought about it. And alongside pageants, I also act and model. Mm. So my life relies on being in front of a camera, being in front of people and entertaining, you know? So it was kind of a decision of what I wanted to do in my life, career-wise. And honestly, it came down to, yeah, I do. I do want to be an entertainer. I plan on working in the entertainment industry. So I kind of had to grab eczema and my skin by its ear and being like, you're going to come with me instead of because I definitely let eczema take control of my life.
Yeah.
And
it's like your evil twin.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Pretty much.
I mean, you know, Abby, you did flip the script. You won the title of Miss of Louisiana, if that's correct.
Yes.
How did that make you feel, and were you expecting to win the title?
Goodness. So pageants, it's kind of like an audition for acting or a casting for modeling. You have to be okay with rejection and getting told no. So every time I compete, I'm always like, I'm going to do the best I can, because I train, you put hours of work into it, and it's like you got to give it all you got, but you can't take it personally is the thing. And that's a whole nother story. But once I won, I was like, oh my gosh, like no way. Cause you're always in shock whenever you first win. And then you go home that night and you like actually sit and you're like, okay, I got this. I have this opportunity and I have a platform now. How am I going to use it? What am I going to do? I need to set a plan of action in place. And at that time, though, this is whenever I was still in denial about my skin. So I kind of ignored that problem, kind of, again, suppressed it, and just kind of talked about, I tore my ACL back in the day. So I talked about like sports safety and stuff, but I just pretended my eczema wasn't even there.
Mm. And, you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure that as you went through this entire journey, there were people, friends, family, you know, individuals who maybe rallied around you, kept, you know, pushed you to keep going. Anyone that you'd like to talk about in particular, and how people around you supported you through this journey?
Yeah. So, my story, I didn't have like a big community of people. I kept my eczema very private because of just, I don't know the right word, I guess embarrassed, ashamed, disgusted with it. So it wasn't really a thing I liked to talk about or like discuss. So I never really brought it up. Or if it was brought up, I'd shut it down pretty quickly. I never took offense. It just always like, I don't know. I just made me feel bad about myself as I was already feeling bad.
Mm.
But during this time, this is whenever I was having issues with my family. So I wasn't living with them at the time. I was living with my ex-boyfriend, and him and his family are the people I have to credit for kind of being my rock during my boyfriend. He would put moisturizer on me because I still to this day, I do not like having to do the whole moisturizing, like putting cream all over my body. He was always happy to do it for me, which speaks volumes and means so much to somebody that has eczema. And the times where my insomnia was really bad or I couldn't feel rested, he was so kind and would like give me like a massage or like just talk to me to sleep. Or we tried so many different things. And while it was so difficult, like getting to sleep and finding that rest, he helped so much, so much.
Mm. And I mean, I remember you telling me that all of this also sort of happened during COVID. How was that period of isolation for you, sitting with your condition with not much to do?
Oh, goodness. Yeah. I actually liked wearing a mask. Not because of any other reason other than it hid the eczema on my face. And I wore it all the time to the point where everyone was like, why are you having that? Like, we can take it off, like, here, like, where it's, like, it's me, like a friend saying, like, it's me in the car. And I'm like, I know, but it's not even that. I'm like, and then I take it off, and I'm like, look. And they're like, oh. I'm like, yeah. And I put it back on. The mask kind of became, like, a comfort thing for me. And the isolation, I did not mind. I liked it. I liked not being able to go to school, and I liked being able to attend class through my computer, and I could have my screen off, you know? So I found the good parts of quarantine for me.
Yeah, I think for me, or like at least my friends told me that they didn't have to apply makeup anymore. Or, you know, for me, I think it was just being discreet and not being easily recognized when you're out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, COVID definitely had its perks, but I have to say, I didn't particularly enjoy wearing masks.
Yeah.
But during this time, you know, as you're, you know, navigating COVID, you know, COVID, and then you have this condition, and then just even in general, aside from COVID, did you face any challenges in the world of dating? Were men or people in general critical of you?
So throughout my entire process with eczema, I was already in a relationship. So I got into that relationship pre-eczema, if you will.
I see.
And then developed as we were still together. And then it was kind of like we both were doing it together. Because we kind of had to. And being a eczema partner, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, it plays a huge role in their life. So if your partner has eczema, be kind and be a good eczema significant other. But as far as like men, I mean, I don't know. I was in a relationship. I didn't really care what other men thought.
Yeah.
But and people, I guess, like, I don't, it was like hard going out in public. I definitely did not like I wore a hoodie. I wore a hat. I wore like long sleeves, even if it was hot outside. And again, this is probably just me like thinking too much into it and being too self-critical. But I just wanted to hide and shell up and didn't want to socialize.
Mm. And, you know, looking back, what do you think are your greatest learnings from this period?
Is that you're not alone. Because I think as much as I enjoyed that isolation, it definitely it encourages that loneliness you feel. And while I was in a relationship with a very good partner, you still feel alone because like you're the one that you're the one that looks.
Yeah. You're on your own little island.
Yeah. But with that being said, I found comfort in community. So I started reaching out to like eczema support groups on Facebook and trying to find and connect with others that like were going through something similar. Cause I felt like I was the only one in the world that had eczema, but come to find out there's over 3 million people in the United States alone that have them. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. The statistics are pretty crazy. I think it's only when you have it, do you look into these things and realize, oh my God, this is a lot more common than I thought.
Yeah.
You mentioned in the beginning that you didn't have a skincare routine back then. Do you have one now?
I do, or at least better than what it was. I'm still perfecting, I guess. So I do a lot of it like in the shower because I hate like, I don't know, I don't like splashing my face with water like over the sink because then like water gets everywhere and like now I'm wet and like, I don't know, it's a mess.
Mm.
So I kind of made my routine to where it would work if I do it in the shower. So definitely I clean my face. I use like CeraVe, like the facial cleanser. I use Glad Skin makeup remover if I'm wearing makeup that day. And then honestly, I don't do anything crazy because I'm scared if I use like a lot of products
that you'll have a reaction.
Exactly. So I just keep it simple. I just like clean my face. And then when I get out the shower, I put, oh my gosh, can't remember.
Blanking happens to me all the time. for anyone who's actually listening this episode, after I asked Abby like 3 questions, I had to tell her, hey, like, can you give me a minute? Because I think I'm going to faint. And then I took a 10-minute break. So the reason, by the way, completely detouring this episode right now, but Ramadan started today.
Oh.
And so I do intermittent fasting, but I haven't done it in a long, like this, I haven't done in a long time. Because with intermittent fasting, you can control your hours. But with Ramadan, you have to go by the rules of the book. And I think that's why I'm light-headed. But anyway, if you're blanking out, that's totally fine. I'm blanking out as the host of the show. So I think it's totally fine.
It's something hydroacid, and it's like an oil.
Oh, is it? Is it hyaluronic?
Yes. Oh my gosh! Thank you.
Ooh,
yes.
Look at me. How do I know that? Okay, it's hyaluronic acid.
Just like a regular moisturizer. There's 2 that I actually like: Aveeno, and then this Manuka honey.
Okay, heard of both. That is a good sign. It's a good sign I'm saying that it's a good sign that you took the name of two products and I actually know which ones they are.
Yeah, because I mean, nothing crazy. I don't know. But see, that works for me. Eczema is so complex. You have to kind of do what works for you.
Mm. Can you educate us on any don'ts when interacting with anyone living with eczema? Anything you should never say?
Oh, anything that would invalidate. And I suppose that just goes for anybody in the world. Like invalidating somebody that has eczema, any condition if that. It's so just like frustrating to hear because I mean at least this, for me personally, like I was at an all-time low and like I was that like lived through that, and like for somebody to say something that would invalidate that experience for me, it's hurtful because I'm like, you don't know where I was at.
Yeah,
so be supportive in any way you can. If you're dating somebody that has eczema, learn their love language, like learn what they need help with. Like if they mentioned that they don't like applying moisturizer, offer to apply it. Or if they don't want to, or if they have to eat something or they can't eat something, maybe help them out and like participate with them, like it, depending on what it is.
Yeah.
So just be a supportive partner in any way you can and just make them feel loved and seen and that like they are not, they're not a changed person because of it. They're still who they are.
Right. And this question was more for people interacting with someone who has eczema. So now pivoting to anyone who is living with the skin condition, Abby, is there some, you know, anything that they should absolutely not do?
Definitely, like, you know, this is easier said than done. That's why I kind of laughed. Anything that would irritate it. So, and that's a lot of things. So it's hard to do for sure. But at the end of the day, I can say all the things not to do, but it's hard. Like I'd say like not to scratch it and not to take like hot showers. Cause a lot of times like a relieving sensation you get like is whenever you kind of like burn your skin. Like, so in the shower, I would turn it all the way hot and just let the water hit my skin. Felt so good, but it
dries it out.
It tore it up. Yeah. So it's like, do what works. Listen to your body. Mm. If you do something and then your skin feels awful after, take note of that. And then maybe don't do that or and vice versa. You just really have to learn your body. It's different for everyone.
For everyone. Yeah. Going to ask you an interesting question, which I'm not sure if you have an answer to, but I left you with this question a while ago, which is, if you had to give your eczema a name, what would you call it? Have you ever thought about it?
Okay. This is a great question. Like, one of the best eczema questions I think I've ever gotten.
Yay.
And for the listeners, she asked me this, like, probably, like, a month ago at this point. And I was like, I need time. I'm sorry. I need time because this is a good question. I want a good answer. And literally, like, today, I was like, and thinking about it all month, I'm like, what did I call it? Because to be just quite honest, to be 100% real with you and everyone listening, whatever is your favorite curse word is what I called my.
Oh, God, what is mine? So what is yours? Coming back to you, what is your, what do you call it?
Oh, my goodness. It's just like the mood I'm in. If I'm mad, if I'm irritated, if I'm annoyed. All of them, like literally the alphabet of curse words. It's like UMF or this freaking B.
Okay. Like, that's fine. You heal in hell. And I live by that. That's fine. Like, I'm not all about take a deep breath, mindfulness. I'm not that person. I'm like, no, like it's rough and I'm just going to go through with it. And okay. Some people heal like that.
Yeah, I definitely was the more aggressive type and took the more aggressive approach to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that worked for me. So you just got to do what works for you.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And then, Abby, you know, your social media has bloomed into a very interesting platform. Tell me briefly about it. You know, I believe you've recently witnessed some growth, kind of what led to it. And yeah, any strategies you've adopted over the last year?
Goodness. So like I am so lucky to be able to say I do influencer work. And that is only because of my eczema, to be honest, because I made a 7-second reel. Okay, just showcasing my eczema, me getting at my Dupixent injection. And I posted it in an ode to me competing at Miss Louisiana USA in 2022. Mm-hmm. And I debated even posting it, because at the time, I'm just a regular college student. I'm trying to pursue the modeling life and all that stuff. My social media was just personal. I had no crazy number of following or anything. And so leading up to the pageant, and it was part of the healing process, posting it publicly, did something for me too. So probably about a week of thinking it over, I finally decided to hit post.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, maybe not even a week later, I hit a million views.
Wow.
Flipping out when it got 500 views. So I was I'm just doing this for me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So the numbers kept growing, and what, maybe 2 weeks later, it reached 17 million views.
What? I had no idea. I didn't know that.
It's crazy. I still don't believe it's real. But after that video, I gained numbers from my following to my DMs. I had people across the world sending me messages about their own eczema, about their kids' eczema, about their spouse. I was flooded, and I became very overwhelmed, because I was I've never been in this position. I don't know what to do. I'm not a doctor. I'm not I'm figuring this out on my own too. I don't know what's going on. But so I had to take a second, be realize, understand what's happening. And then I finally pulled myself together and was all right, I'm ready to hit this.
Yeah.
I just took a day, and I was all right, I'm going to respond to all these people. And I probably responded to over 250 people.
Yeah.
And it's a lot, but I'm I wish I saw somebody on Instagram posting about it,
But you know, that's the point, which is, stories of authenticity are so many people who are finally coming out and being authentic. Are realizing that, oh my God, there are so many more people who are actually dealing with the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why,
And which is why it's hard, because it's that exact mindset that I also had. So I'm dang, I don't know what to do. So because I couldn't respond to everyone individually, I just started to post publicly for everybody to see.
Mm.
There was a question being asked about whatever it was, I would make a little reel about it, or I would just show more photos of my skin and then type something in the caption. And all of that did very well. It did very well. It grew super fast. And then I started getting brands reaching out to me. Around the same time, I recently got under management and an agent. So my manager helps me with my influencing stuff. So whenever I got my first brand deal, it was kind of all right, let's buckle up. Let's see where this goes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the boat I've been on. I've been doing influencer work, and it just one thing leads to another. And it's so crazy. And I'm still figuring out the business and how it all works. But I don't do it for the money. I don't do it for the numbers. I don't do it for any of that. I remember my why every single day, because I have a photo of my skin pinned to the top of my profile.
Uh-huh.
And every time I look at it, I'm like, this is
the reason
why I do what I do.
Yeah. Looking back, would you do anything differently?
In terms of influencing and posting and stuff?
No, your journey, the way you approached your skin condition, and do you feel like if you could turn time back, you would have gone in to see a doctor much sooner or taken things more seriously initially?
In a perfect world, it would be yes. I wish maybe I went from the jump and got the started medication earlier or whatever, but I'm a big believer in timing and time frame, and everything happens at this certain moment in time for this specific reason. And so I think that the time frame, three years, 3.5 years of this journey I came out the other side, like the way I am, with the views I have now, the mentality I have now, because of every single thing that had happened to me in that 3 years. Mm. But I feel like if I sped it up or I did something different, I wouldn't have gotten what I needed to get from it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So you would basically keep your journey as it was, because I think personally, looking back at your trajectory, you were very proactive. It's not like it took you a long time to finally put your foot down and go in and get yourself checked. Yeah, so I'm not surprised. And then Abby, you know, we always wrap each episode with advice. So what are your three pieces of advice for someone who's looking to navigate the challenges that come with living with eczema?
First thing I would say is find your people that understand you and make you feel safe. For me, that was within the eczema community. I have to give a lot of credit to the National Eczema Association, NEA. They have an Instagram account. It's in my bio. They are where I found my people. And those people mean so much to me. And I feel so safe being a part of this community, because once I really started like engaging, that's when I truly felt like this is okay. Mm-hmm. I can live in harmony with my eczema. So definitely find a way to get connected, whether that is through like a group on Facebook or you reach out to somebody, a part of the NEA, anything, or like somebody in real life that you know that also has eczema, anything like that. Just get connected and talk it out with somebody, because it makes you feel better when you feel understood. Mm-hmm. So that helps. Two, don't beat yourself up over it. And know, and like this one, easier said than done. And you have to go through a lot to like understand this. But like everybody has something, okay? Like you are not the only person, like you speaking to the general, like my condition was severe eczema. I was very low. I was at a very low point. There are people that struggle with other things that also get to a very low point in life. So it's important to remember that you're not alone, regardless of whatever you're going through. And don't beat yourself up over it. Don't play like don't purposely be a victim when there are resources available. That might sound kind of bad, but my point is you will find others that get you and that can help you and that will make you feel safe. Mm-hmm. And I understand that's hard, and depending on what it is, it's hard. It's definitely hard. Because if somebody told me that crap in the middle of it, I'd be like, get out of my face. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
So I suppose be patient with yourself. Be patient and give yourself grace. Mm-hmm. Number three, goodness.
And it's fine if you don't have a third. That's fine. I usually just say three because I think it's like one, two, three. Or maybe the third. Yeah. Do you have one?
I do. Find a way to cope, to deal. Mm. Whether that's doing it the most healthy way, by going to therapy, or if that's you find comfort in humor, or you find a hobby that you really enjoy that takes your mind off of it, find something that distracts yourself, because nobody should just sit in pain. So do something that makes you happy.
That is very apt. And Abby, where can our community find you?
Find me on Instagram. And my username is just my name, Abby Cramond, ABBY CRAMOND. I also have TikTok, but my TikTok all over the place. I'm still figuring out TikTok. But if you want eczema content, go to Instagram.
Abby, thank you so much. Truly, you have been so easy to work with. You were so patient through my fainting spell. Especially, hey, I'm like, oh my God, she just started this episode and I'm fainting. But, you know, I'm sure that your uncommon resilience will be used by many as a springboard to, you know, propel themselves forward. I always find it very helpful to hear from those with experiential learnings, especially in situations similar to mine. And I do want to tell everyone who tuned in, keep your eyes peeled for, more episodes this season. And Abby, actually for you, a lot of our Lavender community folks may slide into your DMs. So you keep your eyes peeled. Yeah, and season 3 has a lot more stacked up. So as always, I will see you soon. Till then, keep your chin up. Yeah.
Yeah. Load it.